This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 191 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And joining me on the line via her iPhone, Lorna Andrikopoulos. How are you, Lorna?
Good evening, Bruce. I'm very, very well. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, stinking hot up here at the moment. What's the weather like in Melbourne?
Not as hot as it was when I came up to Sydney last. That just seems to be where it's all cooking at the moment. Melbourne's just taking its gentle time, working its way into the festive season. But
yeah, well, it feels like it's been a long time coming for the warm weather, and now it's just like kicked in with a vengeance. I think it got up to about 37 in Sydney's west today. For our American listeners, that's the neat ton. And Sydney's a fairly humid climate. So it's quite warm even now. It's, you know, 9 o'clock that we're recording this, and it's still quite warm here. So, anyway.
Well, I did complain. Being Scottish, I complained all the way through winter, and people say, "Oh, but you're Scottish, you should be used to it." Yes, but I moved to the other side of the world because I don't like being cold. So I feel it's obligatory for me to absolutely not complain whatsoever at all, no matter how hot it gets. I can only complain in one direction. So. I just have to enjoy it and fan myself gently.
You can always plead the Goldilocks case and just say, you know, it's too hot, it's too cold, I want it right in the middle.
No, can't do it. I just suck it up, Susan.
All right. So last week we had the big two-nighter, and I think the week prior to that you did the same two-nighter in Melbourne. But prior to that, and after the last time we spoke, you went off to Adelaide for the Nikon AIPP event. Is that correct?
I did, and it was the first, I think it's the second event they've had. It was, I believe it was in Queensland last year.
Okay.
It was an absolutely fantastic event. I think in any industry, to get together with a whole bunch of people from all walks within that industry, there was the students, professional photographers, suppliers, the stars of photography who were the speakers. There was just an amazing mix of people, and to be immersed in that for 4 days and to not just have the trade show and the speaking side of it, but also the social functions in the evening, which were just so brilliantly put together. It was a phenomenal event. It was very inspiring. I know a lot of people I spoke to afterwards described it as life-changing.
Wow.
Which is pretty big words. Mm-hmm. But it really was. There was a really, as I say, I think there's partly just being around people from within your industry is always going to be inspiring and motivating, because you get to talk endlessly about the thing that you love. From morning till night. I've never been to a trade show where we had to be on the trade show floor at 7:30. But you know what? I know. 7:30 is early for a trade show, and we were there till 5:30 in the evening. So it was a long day.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware of it being a long day, because I just had such a variety of conversations with amazing people. I think it really does you good to get out of your normal working environment. We all work away in our little garrets and have our plans of world domination and cackle quietly to ourselves, but actually getting into the thick of it and meeting up with a whole load of people who do what you do, or at least in the same industry as you, it's got to be good. It's got to be good, Bruce.
Yeah. I didn't realise it was a four-day event and a trade show. I thought it was just a conference-y type thing rather than a trade show. So how, having manned a stand, you know, along with CPW at PMA earlier this year, how did the two trade shows compare?
Completely different. Not the same beast at all. PMA is a trade show where the doors open at 10, more reasonable time, 9 or 10. And you've got a fairly constant stream of visitors coming through all day.
Right.
The difference with this show is, although we were there at 7:30, the workshops and the speakers commenced at 8 o'clock. You've never seen so many photographers appearing at 8 o'clock in the morning, all with raging hangovers from the night before. But you wouldn't want to miss any of these, you know, speakers, really. There were some real stellar performances. So all of a sudden, you go from being manically busy and having lots of people around and, you know, trying to do what you do, and then it would go wildly quiet again. So it was interesting. We actually got to go and see some of the speakers and presentations ourselves because it had that format. It's also an opportunity to catch up with some of our colleagues in Adelaide who were a little bit more available during the day as well. So, as I say, it was just the change in pace and the variety of people who you were meeting. So, as I say, it ranged from students who were just starting out, so that they've really got it all to learn. To I had a couple of really amazing conversations. I met David Burnett, who took I think one of the most well-known images from the Vietnam War of the little girl crying running down the street. Very, very powerful image. And his the length and breadth of his career is just phenomenal, and such a great presenter as well. So it was just a really great event with wonderful people.
So
it was very different from the trade show at PMA, because there wasn't so much in the way of workshops and seminars at the trade show. Or the ones that there were, you're in a hall with several thousand other people, and you're trying to, you know, shout over the hubbub. So quite a different pace and feel, and quite a different market as well.
I was just going to ask, was this Nikon AIPP event industry only, as in could any punter walk in off the street like PMA?
I think you had to pre-register, because I think we had about 400 photographers who were booked for the event, and because it's an AIPP event, the majority of them were AIPP members. But I don't believe it was... I don't know. I think there may well have been people there who weren't AIPP members who were happy to come along and pay the conference fees because they were based in Adelaide or wherever. But it's not an open to the public. It is quite a closed trade show from that point of view. You needed your badge or you didn't get in.
Yeah. So is Nikon planning on sponsoring this event on an annual basis?
I believe so. I think they've already arranged it's scheduled for Hunter Valley next year, so in New South Wales.
I love it.
I know.
That's like that's an hour's drive for me.
And it's wine district. But that's the interesting thing. I think the good thing about it being not in your home state is that you are completely cut off from your normal life, so you are more or less completely immersed in it. I think to sort of go backwards and forwards, you miss out on that immersive element. And for me, I was very glad that I didn't have to think about babysitters or designated drivers for the 4 days. it was full on, and I highly recommend it. If you're even faintly considering it next year, it's I would just bite the bullet and go.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome.
That sounds very interesting. Okay, so moving on to the double nighter of our Focus on Business series. So you ran that in Melbourne the week before last, and you ran it here in Sydney last week. Was it the same? It was the same program in Melbourne as it was in Sydney.
The two events were the same. One of the main differences, I had one of my members from the Melbourne group said, "Hey, Lonnie, you know, it'd be really good if we could meet somebody who's been through the training with you and see what they've done with it, because I have quite a broad circuit of people in the groups, again, from students, people who have been in business 10 years, people who are converting from wedding to portrait, commercial photographers. So there's quite a diversity within each group. So I thought that was a brilliant idea, to get somebody who's been through the training and see how they've picked up the ball and run with it. So that was the main difference between the two groups. In Melbourne, I had a guy by the name of Eric Reinschuk, mm-hmm. who did quite a spectacular presentation on how his business has changed since working with Reignite Instinctive Desires and the concepts that he's come up with. And one of the things I'm really, really interested in at the moment is in photographers having a really clear vision about what they want to do, because there is a big influx of photographers coming into the market. You can't specialize in everything. And picking the niche, if you remember way back when we did that first session, establishing your business, identifying your USP. And I really do believe that that's the starting point for anybody's vision as to what they're going to do. You will extend out into other areas, you will do other things, but starting with a core idea. So hearing Eric in Melbourne talk about his business and how he developed it and what his ideas were, and how he really took a lot of the concepts to quite an extraordinary level. It was very impressive to hear the ideas that he'd come up with and how he'd executed them, and how much he'd done that was completely custom as well. So the concept of being unique, even down to the business cards, which were really quite spectacular. He has one that is translucent, so you can actually see through it. There's another one that's made of wood and shaped like a dog bone for his pet photography. So that was fantastic. And I actually was fascinated to hear his story, even though I've worked with him and I did catch up with him in Adelaide as well and said, you know, let's talk about the presentation you're going to do. So he'd given me some idea of what he'd done, but to see him lay it all out in the way that he had was really quite inspiring. And then, of course, in Sydney, I did the similar sort of thing with a wonderful lady by the name of Danielle Steele, who runs Natural Lights Photography.
Yep.
We've worked with Danielle for a number of years now, and she's taken her business from a home business to a thriving wedding portrait business in Penrith. So that was perhaps a more practical application, because she's actually been working for longer and has more history of what she's done and how her business has changed and grown. But in both instances, I think it was just great to have, you can have me talking, giving it blah, 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 this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, but to see somebody who's actually done it and taken it and made it their own, I think really gave a lot back to both groups. So I really enjoyed that. And it was also, we came up with a few discussions on how different people operate. And some people, and I believe you fall into this category, Bruce, have the need to plan everything out and to map it all out and to research it and to break it all down and to see it all on paper, on a business plan before you do anything.
Yep.
And then you've got the other group, which I would probably say that Lee and I fall more into this group, which we'll probably have three ideas, run up the flagpole and, you know, changed and moved on by the time somebody else has written their business plan.
The flying by the seat of the pants group.
Correct. And I have to say, I think both methods are equally viable. It comes down to the person that you are.
Yeah.
And I try and always be aware of that when I'm working with groups. There are people who will just go, hey, why don't I try this? And they'll give it a go and they'll shape it and reform it and push it into existence that way. And there are other people who prefer the more detailed planning stage first before they go ahead. But as I say, I think both methods work equally well, and it just comes down to the person that you are.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's before I even talk about what we talked about in the group that couple of nights ago. I really do. I feel like I've been on a around-the-world trip, and it was only Adelaide, Melbourne and Sydney, but it's just been quite... The thing about, as anybody who is in a teaching role will know, you actually get so much back every time you go and teach or work with groups of people. There's always something new to bring in.
Definitely.
That gives you ideas and inspiration. I've always worked in collaborative environments. I ran an interactive science centre for 3 years in Glasgow, when Glasgow was the European City of Culture.
Oh, okay.
Edinburgh was most missed when that happened. And then I worked a lot with theatre companies and festival management. And again, it's all to do with sharing resources and being open to new ideas. And when the last job I had in Scotland before I came to Australia was in the computer game industry. So again, those are exciting trade shows when you're off to E3 in Los Angeles.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Lara Croft running around the place shooting at people. It's awesome. But coming from that background for me is very much forms the way I like to work and the way I run my businesses. It is in that collaborative way of sharing ideas. And I do, it's just fundamental to the way I work. The more that you give out, the more that you get back. So I feel like I've been given an awful lot over the last few weeks to think about, and trying to now get back and put it all together is where you find me this Monday, where I'm a bit busy with it all because I'm so excited by what I'm doing.
Yep.
And really positive about where 2012 is taking it.
Both Shelton and I have each said on this podcast about, you know, how interesting it is, you know, what you learn about yourself and about your own knowledge when you start to share that knowledge with other people. I know it from the audio related podcasts that I used to be doing. I'm not doing them anymore, but when I was sharing what I knew about audio with an audience, you know, you get feedback from that audience that kind of makes you stop and think about what it is that you know and how you explain those concepts to other people. And Shelton has found exactly the same thing with CPW. He said, you know, I've shot for 25 years professionally, but when you start to teach people, it really makes you, you know, think even more about your understanding of these core principles and how you explain them to people. And I see the similarity to what you've just said. You know,
it is a very rewarding thing to do, and I am loving it. And it's the whole sort of idea that there are things that you know that you've forgotten that you know because you've known them for so long. So when you have to explain it to somebody else, it's a nice reminder for you, even just that first stage, to say, well, hey, I know this.
Yep.
And when you talk to somebody and they go, wow, I didn't know that, and now I do, and thank you for sharing. It's a great feeling. It really is.
Yeah.
So I thought it was the two big guns this month. We did marketing on the first night. So really looking at what you need to do to get your voice heard in the forest of photographers shouting to be heard at the moment. My sort of aim is to provide things that are very much low cost, no cost. You just need to put the ground in, right up to the $10,000 worth of wedding magazine advertising. How are you going to get your business, and where are you going to place your business? How are you going to have your brand reflected in everything that you do as part of your customer experience? So again, going back to the principles, when we started the business and we started mainly working from a sales point of view, it very often was hard to sustain because the very first contact that the client had with the customer, the booking stage, the marketing stage, the session itself, every single thing you do at every single stage all works towards what happens in the viewing room at the end of the day, which is why we've extended our course into all these other areas, because we know in our own business that if we just go, hi, could I have $6,000 for you to come and do this training with me? It's not going to have as good or as strong an impact if you haven't built your brand, if you haven't positioned yourself in the market, if you haven't done ticked all the boxes all the way through the customer experience to get that happening.
Yeah.
So that was the first night was marketing, all about how to get your voice out there. And then the reason there was an extra session was I was so determined to get the introduction to the emotional sale in the viewing in before the end of the year, and particularly at this time of year, because we have a lot of people with businesses who are up and running. And what I hear a lot after we've done sales training with people is, I want all of last month's clients back. I want all of last year's clients back. And the basic principle is just, for most people, they've never done any sales training, or certainly not sales training within the photographic industry. And you're selling a very unique product. It is a fully personalized custom product. It is not the same as selling a couch. So there's a very, very personal involvement, the introduction to the emotional sale. So that I felt on both nights that I did it, that I was going to be very short of time because there was so much information to get through.
Yeah.
And I know for myself, I couldn't have learned it all in a 2.5 hour session. I was blessed to be married to a sales trainer. The training has come from Lee's experience as a salesperson, as a born salesperson. I've got to say, for those of you who don't know Lee, he is the ice to the Eskimo, sand to the Arabs man. He's got the gift. I would not naturally have thought of myself as a salesperson, and I do say that at the start of that event, that I am the least likely person I would have imagined to be standing up presenting a sales seminar. But I've learned how to do it, and I absolutely loved being a salesperson. For the 4 years we ran the studio, the time I spent in the viewing room is the time that I missed. The idea of going back to running three businesses fills me with horror. We've still got two businesses, and I'm still finding that there aren't enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
How we ran three, I've no idea. But that beautiful time I spent in the viewing room with people, working through their images, building their desire and their understanding of what they were looking at. And the interesting thing is, whether they ended up with, I'll just take the free one at the end, or we're going to have a spectacular $13,000 collection, I had the same feeling at the end of every viewing, because people enjoyed the process that we went through to get to what they would really love to have. So I do find it still to this day quite ironic, and I think for people who knew me back in Scotland, if they hear that I'm now working as a sales trainer, they'll just be baffled.
I think that's quite a unique position to be in as essentially a retailer of a good or service. When you say, you know, that the people get to the end of the process and they have enjoyed the experience, I don't think you can say that for too many sales-based interactions as a consumer.
Well, it is such a personal experience.
Buying a house is not fun.
Buying a car is
not fun. You might enjoy the house or the car when you've got it, but the actual process of going through the purchase is far from what I would call a fun experience.
And I think, it's our industry in particular. Interestingly enough, if you were at the Sydney group and you heard two people sharing experiences of a bad sales job in that environment, where they felt that they had been deceived, or that the prices were suddenly sprung upon them and they felt overwhelmed, and they'd been manipulated into wanting all these images, and then when the price was launched at them out of nowhere, they were, they walked away with nothing, pretty much in both cases. So that to me is an indication that there's a lack of awareness in the industry that you need to learn how to sell your images. They will not sell themselves, and if you do it right, the rewards are fantastic. And it doesn't mean that every single sale is a big one. What it means is that every single customer has a positive experience and association with your business, and they're happy to promote your business. And that is a great outcome for anybody. And that, I think, is what I was most proud of everything that we did in the studio, my little blue book of testimonials. It was something that I was extremely proud of. And just the feeling I got from clients when they would hug you after handing you a credit card that you would hit up for $3,000. You know, what a great feeling.
Absolutely.
So I'm very, very passionate about it. Once I get over the irony of it and I get launched into talking about it, and what I love in both the Melbourne and the Sydney groups is that I've got people who have existing businesses, and they threw every objection in the planet at me, and to be able to turn that around and say, well, here's how I would deal with that objection, and have them go, brilliant, you know. And to take away that personal feeling, I think that was one advantage I had in the sales room, is that they weren't my images. I was not the photographer.
Right.
And being able to take what people were saying about the images with that one step removed, and be able to continue to work through and not be taking it personally. And also, you know, there are so many times when I talk to people about what they're actually promoting on their website. 9 times out of 10, you go to a photographer's website and you see images. So when the client turns around and asks how much of the digital files, you can't really blame them, because that's all they've seen on your website. So again, this goes back to the marketing, it goes back to the booking, how you're actually going to educate your client as to what's going to happen, and to tell them what you sell, and to tell them what the prices are from the outset, so that you can not have the worst situation to be in the viewing room, is when you quote the first price and the client says, I had no idea it was going to cost that much.
Yeah.
That's a terrible position to try and work back from.
If I could just play devil's advocate for 1 minute, how do you...
I'm laughing because I love it when you play
devil's I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, it is important that we, you know, do educate the clients with regards to pricing, because, you know, quite often that is a hurdle. So I understand you're saying that, you know, that needs to be, you know, on your website so that people can at least...
No, I didn't say it needed to be on the website.
Oh, okay.
What I said was that you need to make sure that the client has an awareness of pricing from the very initial conversation you have with them.
Right. Now I'm with you.
There are arguments either way as to whether you put prices on the website.
That was where I was going with it, because I was going to say that could deter people from then making the approach.
Yeah, we work on our prices starting from average client spends. So rather than actually having specific prices, I do know a lot of studios that will actually be very upfront with their pricing, and 9 times out of 10, that's the studios that are fairly high volume and offering collections, as opposed to the high-end boutique studios where you really need to work on that education process. Because as we got to in the viewing session that we did in Sydney that you were at, you are not selling a piece of glass and some wood and a bit of paper. You are actually selling a piece of art. Yeah. And to actually to look at Van Gogh sunflowers and say, well, there's $10 million, it's a ridiculous concept, but it comes down to market value. It comes down to what the client is willing to pay and you're willing to part with it for.
Yep.
So it does need to be stepped through, and it is a process, and it does take time to actually work it through. But having for the client to have some awareness of price all the way through the journey with you. And even if it is just prices starting from and our average client spends around, that's a whole lot better than having no idea. And both, I think, the cases we had the other night were people who'd got right the way through the process and into the viewing room, and the first time the price was quoted to them was at that stage, and they were both understandably horrified and felt that they hadn't been, the business hadn't represented itself effectively.
Yeah. Now, Michael Good, who has also been part of this training series, made a really lovely comment after last week's two-nighter. Do you have his comment in front of you?
I don't, but I wish I did.
I've just pulled it up on Facebook. He said, "This week's sessions were awesome. Can't believe people are missing out on this info. If you're serious about building a photography business, you need to attend these. It's info you can bank on." So I think that, you know, kind of gives it just an impression from another professional photographer who's attending this training series as to the value of what Lorna has been sharing over these previous, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, and we've got one more week before the end of the year. The beautiful thing is, for anyone who has, you know, doesn't live in Melbourne or Sydney, is that Lee and Lorna have put together both a DVD and an audio CD. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And they're both available for purchase off your website?
They are.
So definitely would check it out for those who are interested in picking up some of this info that Lee and Lorna are espousing with regards getting your photography business, you know, on track. Definitely, probably. I haven't seen the DVD, but I have heard the audio CD, and I thought it was fantastic. But I would imagine the DVD is that Lee in front of an audience, or
it's Lee in front of an audience in full flow, and it's far more detailed step-by-step theory of what the emotional sale is and how it relates specifically to photography. And as I say, selling photography is something incredibly personal. You're dealing with people at a very vulnerable time. A lot of people feel quite confronted by seeing images of themselves if you're working with families and weddings. It's much easier to sell children, and I'm wondering whether that's why so many people are working towards the children and babies market. But it's having been through the process myself, and I did actually in Sydney, I used images from my own session that I shot just before we left the studio. I needed somebody to help me step through those images because I was confronted myself by what I was looking at. So I think I'm a fairly typical consumer because I go, oh, look at my double chin. I'm, you know,
yeah.
To have somebody to help me work through them. And I try to take my own advice when I'm looking at my own images. There were people, we had asked somebody to bring a camera to the Sydney event and just to take some shots of the event in progress for our own promotional purposes. And you've never seen so many people hiding behind whatever they could hide behind so as not to be photographed.
Camera dodgers.
I'm saying, I thought that was brilliant. I'm going, oh, you're all hiding behind your worksheets, you know. Put yourself in your client's shoes. They all feel the same way too.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you make them look at these images and buy them. So there was a lot of very fun stuff happening over those 2 days. And Lee, when he is presenting the seminar, he's very animated, I think. Is the least word we could use to describe
him. I was going to say, even if you're not interested in the business side of it, buy the DVD just to see Lee in action.
The most frequent question I get asked about Lee, people look at me and they go, is he always like this? And I have to tell you folks, yep, pretty much. He's a very energetic personality, and he is very passionate about his involvement in the industry and what he contributes to it. So, yeah. Thanks for the shameless plug there, Bruce.
That's all right.
Appreciated.
Yeah, no worries. All right.
And speaking of shameless plugs, can I just say that the Bruce Williams panoramic calendar is gracing my kitchen wall at the moment.
Oh, thank you.
And I did what everybody does when they're given a calendar, which is go straight to the birthday month, which mine was June, and it's a beautiful sunset over Calandra, I believe. And right. then stepped through page by page, every other page, and I said exactly the same thing, like, wow, that's beautiful, and really beautiful shots. And I know it would have been a challenge for you to make the selection and put it all together, but the resulting piece of art is beautiful. Thank you very much.
No worries. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Is that available for sale on your website?
Yeah, it is, but I plugged that last week. So.
Which I would have listened to, of course, but, had I not been.
Yeah. Actually, last week was great because I had Les Walkling on, and as we said just before we started recording, you know, he just knows colour management inside out and back to front, and I found that a really interesting, albeit a fairly technical conversation, but I really enjoyed it. And yes, all right then. Well, we'll probably wrap this up.
All right.
Was there anything else you wanted to discuss?
I will be doing the introduction to the course on the 22nd of November in Melbourne. I will also be doing it in Adelaide between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. on the 6th of December. And in Melbourne on the 6th of December, I will be doing customer experience from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I've set myself a bit of a challenge for the 6th of December.
Right.
Which is finishing an event in Adelaide at 1 o'clock and hot-footing it back to Melbourne for another event starting at 6 o'clock. It's slightly bonkers,
wow.
But it's this time of year, and it was the only date I was going to get in. I think once you go past that time in December, things just get caught up in the Christmas madness. So the last event I think I've got booked for the year is the 12th of December in Sydney is the introduction. So starting the course again.
Right.
And the 13th of December is customer experience. And I very much hope to see you at customer experience on the 13th of December.
Definitely.
My last event for the year.
Definitely. Excellent. All right. Well, say good day to Lee for us.
I will do. Well, he's up in the sunny Gold Coast all week, so it's going to be very quiet around this place for the next week. I think he's away for 2 weeks. Yes.
All right.
I shall pass your regards on nonetheless.
Fantastic. All right. And we will we'll talk with you again soon.
Beautiful. Thanks a lot, Bruce. Take care.
You too, Lorna. Bye-bye.
Bye.
One more thing I wanted to cover just before I sign off. Was last week we heard from Neil, who asked about how you deal with hot pixels or dead pixels on your camera sensor. Well, Elsie, otherwise known as Amber Glass, got in touch with me about a website / piece of software called Pixel Fixer. And the website, Neil, is pixelfixer.org. It appears to be donationware, and they appear to have a couple of different ways for dealing with dead pixels in images, both RAW and JPEG. They do have a table of camera brands and models that are supported, so obviously they don't support every camera and every model that's out there, so certainly go and check it out and see if it helps. Elsie also sent me a message on Facebook saying, really enjoyed Les Walkling, and people wondered why I'm so OCD about white balance and colour management. One of the main reasons why I avoided going digital for the longest time. The colour was always off to me, and people always told me that it's me. Colour management was easier on film because I knew what to expect, having studied all different types of films and colour renditioning. And she sent me another link as well, saying, here's another link, and the reason why I tell DSLR users not to use their video feature so much. If you really want video, use a camcorder. And the link is how to remove stuck pixels from your camera's sensor from dpmag.com. I'll put both of those links in the show notes for this episode. So if you want to check them out, please do. All right, I think that will do it for another week, Until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.